You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
From the G Family Performance Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am your gracious and humble host, the Mad Hatter, Eric G., saying thank you for making us a part of your day. Coming up on this episode of Locked On Sooners, some days you have to remember that life is a footlocker. Other days it's a treasure chest, and then sometimes it's merely a suitcase. Well, today I would call a footlocker day. There is a lot to unpack when it comes to the Oklahoma Sooners, what's going on around the program. First and foremost, we're going to talk about Kyler Murray's Heisman Trophy win on Saturday. And why no one wants to go out on a limb and pick Oklahoma. Plus, who should have the bigger chip on their shoulder? Should it be OU or should it be Alabama? We'll also talk about what the Heisman Trophy was this year and why athletes can't stand the Heisman Trophy and how much of a moving target it is. So segment one, jam-packed with a lot of stuff to get to in a very short amount of time. Segment number two, we'll give you a Pete Golding update because we know that you're just hanging on the edge of your seat for that one. We'll tell you what the good folks at Bama Maven has to say. Christopher Walsh, who does an excellent job at collegesportsmaven.io/Alabama, does an excellent, excellent job of covering those teams. I reached out to him to get the Bama perspective on Pete Golding. I'll tell you what he had to say coming up in segment number two. And in segment number three, we're going to talk a little OU basketball because they deserve to be talked about. As much as the OU football program is getting ready to play for possibly the eighth national championship in OU history, this basketball team has quietly built up an 8-1 record. They've got a real chance, a real good chance to be 11-1 by the time the Big 12 season starts. And where are they in the NCAA net rankings? And I'll tell you what net rankings are and RPI being out the window. And we'll discuss a little bit of a change I would make to college basketball if, in fact, I was named Czar of that sport. And once you hear my ideas, it'll ensure that I never get named Czar of college basketball, but it certainly would be a better way of deciding the championship than what you've got now. My name is Eric G. I work for 1340 The Game in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. I also work for News Radio 1000 KTOK, both part of the iHeartMedia family. I'm the co-host of Game Day Saturday with Randy Renner, and you can hear that at 5:30 a.m. on Saturdays on News Radio 1000 KTOK, and then again at 9 a.m. on 1340 The Game and all around the state via the Oklahoma News Network. I've covered OU football and basketball now for five seasons. I am a graduate of the University of Oklahoma and a very proud native of the state of Oklahoma. And I bleed orange and blue now, unbelievably. I cannot tell you the passion that I have for the Thunder and the NBA, but I've always bled, always will bleed crimson and cream. And throughout my career, nothing has given me more joy than being able to cover OU. So with that in mind, let's jump into it and talk about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray wins the Heisman on Saturday, seventh Heisman Trophy winner in OU football history. And if you haven't heard it yet, on Saturday's podcast, I actually did the countdown, rating them 1 through 7. And I'll do that again via video that I will post at collegesportsmaven.io/Oklahoma on Sooner Maven. I will post a video counting down the in order what I think were OU's best Heisman winners. The thing I love about the Heisman Trophy is it's a moving target. There's nothing that is ever concrete about the Heisman Trophy. Its definition changes every year, and that absolutely drives athletes nuts. Because athletes, by definition, athletes cannot handle a gray world. Everything needs to be black and white. There is a set of criteria that you have to accomplish. If you don't accomplish that set of criteria, then you shouldn't be considered for the award, or you shouldn't be considered for the playoff. It's just there's a winner, there's a loser, that's it. And they have a very, almost a very strict definition of who the best is, who the most deserving is. And I can tell you that most athletes, the year that Ingram won it for Alabama, most of the guys that I worked with would have voted Ndamukong Suh would have been voted him the Heisman winner because they felt like he was the best player in college football, and the draft proved that out. I don't believe that with the Heisman Trophy. And the thing about the Heisman Trophy to me that is so beautiful is that this year it was an MVP award because there was no player more valuable to his team than Kyler Murray. And that's what the voters said. This was about the most valuable player. Not only did Kyler Murray have a spectacular season, but he also made the biggest impact on his team. Some years it's about the best player on the best team. Sometimes it's just about a player like Barry Sanders who has a completely incredible season. But that's it. And it's always going to change. And you never are going to be able to nail it down. And voters will change their mind every year. Guys are going to continue to vote for people that they cover. And that's just how it is. May drive you crazy, may drive athletes crazy. But in the end, ultimately, it's the best thing for the award because that's what the Heisman Trust wants, is something that is completely subjective. And every year, we talk about whether or not Tua deserved the Heisman or Kyler deserved the Heisman, or should it have been Josh Heupel or Chris Winkie or whoever. They want that constant talk because that's what college football thrives off, is us being able to talk about this sport 365 days a year. No other sport gets the kind of coverage, passion, and debate that college football gets. And the more aspects that you can bring into those elements of college football, the more it keeps it alive throughout the year, especially in the spring, for places that really aren't into spring football or places that really aren't into recruiting season. You just have to keep that talk going. What I find funny is after Kyler Murray wins the Heisman is all these Alabama players are now pissed off that Tua Tagovailoa didn't win it. Well, I mean, Tua Tagovailoa, he should have won the Heisman. Now we're going to go make OU pay. I mean, look, all you've got to do is search Alabama football on Twitter, and it's just going to come up, and I've even quoted some tweets, but get ready for that garbage all week long of Alabama players saying that they're going to make Kyler Murray and OU pay because the voters decided that Kyler Murray should have won the Heisman, not Tua. And for as big a chip as Alabama has on their shoulder, one, I would think playing for Nick Saban would automatically put a chip on your shoulder. If you just think about that for a second, having to play for that guy with the way he goes about berating players, with the fact that he talked to Kobe Bryant and said that he didn't necessarily think you needed to have fun in order to be a good college football player or recruit kids. All the fun came in winning. I would imagine that when you go out onto the field, you have so much pent-up aggression for what has been said to you all week long. You just want to take it out on people. So the anger is fabricated. It's false. It's fake outrage, as my friend Zach McCright used to say. Yeah, they're mad now, and they may use it for the first part of the game, much like Torrence Marshall did against Chris Winkie, or they may use it for a couple of days, but essentially it comes down to whether or not you can execute better than Oklahoma can execute. And Oklahoma really should have a bigger chip on their shoulder than Alabama should, because nobody on ESPN has the balls to pick Oklahoma in this game. Nobody believes OU can win. And maybe they're right. Maybe this defense is so bad that they can't make enough stops against Alabama, and ultimately this thing goes to the Tide scoring 50 and OU only scoring 35 on this particular game. Maybe they are right. But OU's not chopped liver. We are talking about a team that finished the year 12-1 and beat everybody on their schedule and has a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. And despite the defense, they were still good enough to be considered one of the four best teams by the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. Now, going back to the whole debate thing, if you want to say Georgia's better, feel free to say Georgia's better, but OU is the team that's in it. And OU has a chance to send a message loud and clear. And you know, I've said this before, but the committee is definitely rooting for OU in this game. They want OU to win so bad so they can look justified. And if Alabama goes out and embarrasses Oklahoma, like a lot of people think, then all the committee is going to hear is, well, you should have put Georgia in because Georgia would have been a tougher game. And Georgia was one of the four best teams, and Alabama didn't want to play them, and obviously Oklahoma wasn't one of the four best teams. All that should be enough to motivate your ass to get out on that field in the Orange Bowl and figure out a way to out-physical Alabama. If physicality is a choice, the way Caleb Kelly said it was after the Texas game, then choose to be physical. Go out and beat Alabama. This is one time I would love to have Bob Stoops coaching in this moment. I absolutely would love having Bob Stoops here because the SEC used to piss him off to no end. And maybe that's one of the things that happened against USC. USC didn't piss him off the way the SEC did. And he could get his team into a lather. He could get OU fans into a lather about the SEC. And the fans still carry that over. I don't hear Lincoln Riley saying that. And if there's one thing that I'd really like to hear Lincoln Riley do or say in these next few weeks is just how the SEC is overrated, how the Big 12 doesn't get credit. Like, I want to hear that. I want to hear a coach stump for his conference. Even if I don't agree with it, you've got to play politics here. I don't hear Lincoln Riley doing any of that right now, but I would think that if you're OU, it would not be that hard to walk into that room every day and talk about how nobody believes in you. Of course, they've been doing it all year long, and we've only seen the defense perform well five times all year long. If there's a sixth in there, now's the time to drag that sixth out and figure out a way to make it happen. Am I picking OU in this game? Right now, I am. Maybe I'm the only one that believes in OU, and I might, you know, prove to be the fool that my wife thinks I am, but I really honestly believe that they can go out and get enough stops. If, in fact, it's a choice, here's your opportunity to prove that it's a choice. Plus, with the way Kyler Murray and that offense, to some extent, no matter how talented they are, have overachieved this year, I don't see why they would stop overachieving now, especially on the biggest stage. And then last thing on the Heisman, talk show host I respect out of Seattle, a local guy, Dave Softy Maller is his name, brought up the fact that the Heisman Trophy needed to be a postseason award, which I respect you, Softy. I know you're a Washington fan, and I know you follow that program, and you went to Washington, and you are a Husky through and through. The problem with you saying that is that the Heisman is all about a body of work, and it would cease to make what you accomplished in the regular season worth anything if you just gave it as a postseason award. And all too often with postseason awards, let's just say for the sake of argument that Kyler Murray or Tua Tagovailoa had a mediocre season, and then they get hot in two games. So in two games, they get really hot and throw about 14 touchdowns in two games, which could happen with both of these guys after they've been so-and-so. Well, now you give them the Heisman, and it's an award based on two games, not an overall body of work. I can't get down with that, or the MVP award in MLB or the NFL or the NBA. It really is all about what you've done over a season, and it should never come down to one or two games. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I am Eric G. Coming up next on LOS, we'll tell you what our good friend Chris Walsh at Bama Maven has to say about Pete Golding. That's next on Locked On Sooners. Bowl season is here, and you are also in the midst of Christmas season, and you're having to buy gifts for your kids and your wife and everybody else in your family, and you're also having to go out and get all the ingredients to cook that great meal that you're going to have on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve night. And now you get to the cable bill and you're looking at it and you're seeing that it's adding up and you're wondering, can I live without this? I mean, it's really putting a hurt on you as we start to make that turn towards the beginning of 2019. Well, there's an easy way to solve this. It's called Sling TV. Sling TV you can get for about $30 a month, and you only pay for the channels that you're watching, not the garbage that is just added on to whatever service you're paying for, because, well, that's what the cable company says that you ought to be paying for. You want sports. You don't want to watch the game. You need to watch the game, and bowl season's coming up, and no better way to drown out your in-laws than by turning on ESPN and watching the bowl games, and you'll have access to the Pac-12, to ESPN, to the SEC, to NBA, to the NFL, Major League Baseball. All the sports you want are right there on Sling TV, and Sling's not going to tell you that you have to watch the games at home. They're going to tell you, we know that you have to go out and get those last-minute gifts. We know that you have to go out and get that last can of cranberry sauce for that turkey that you're going to have, or the ham, or whatever. Hey, it's right there. You can watch on your TV while you're in those long lines waiting to pay for it. It's all about convenience with Sling TV. And to show you that they really want your business, they'll give you a 7-day free trial. All you got to do is go to Sling TV/LockedOn. That's Sling/LockedOn. Sling/LockedOn and get it today. That's Sling TV. Don't pay for what you don't watch. Become a slinger.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We've got another episode of Locked On Thunder that we dropped this morning as well to get you ready for the upcoming game with the Thunder and the Jazz, which tips off tonight at the Peak. And if you'd like to catch up on any back episodes of Locked On Sooners or Locked On Thunder, there's some easy ways to do that. One would just be go to LockedOnPodcast.com because every single Locked On podcast is on that website for NFL, for Major League Baseball, for college, etc. And then you've got Google, Stitcher, Alexa, Spotify, Apple iTunes. Feel free to subscribe and rate us 5 stars if you think we're worth it. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As of the recording of this, which is at 10:30 a.m. Central Time, Pete Golding is still the co-defensive coordinator at Alabama. He's not chosen to come to Oklahoma, and there's no news saying that he has chosen to go to or not go to Ole Miss. And I have been told that Golding is a done deal and that Alex Grinch is very close. I have heard from people who have talked to both. And I need to give Brandon Drum some credit here and the folks at 24/7 that if it's not Golding, it's going to be Grinch. And there's still all this stuff really up in the air with OU's defensive coordinator position. But according to Christopher Walsh, who does a great job at running Bama Maven, which is part of collegesports.io, collegesportsmaven.io, and then for him, I think it's /Bama. He is, according to Christopher Walsh, Pete Golding is telling the staff at Alabama he has no plans to go anywhere, and in Tuscaloosa, there was more fear and more talk about him going to Ole Miss, and that most likely has to do with his wife being an Ole Miss alum, and it also has to do with the fact that you've got one SEC school trying to steal from another SEC school. So the OU talk wouldn't have been as loud. There's also reports that Nick Saban wants to keep Pete Golding around, and while he's making $650,000 a year right now at Alabama, Nick Saban is willing to go $1 million and keep him on the staff because Pete Golding kind of figures that if he gets to stay around Alabama, he's looking at some of the other cherry jobs that these Alabama assistants have gotten with their time at Nick Saban. Some of them had coaching jobs. I mean, hey, if you can resurrect the careers of Mike Loxley and Lane Kiffin, especially Mike Loxley, then if I'm Pete Golding, I'm looking around saying, well, if these guys can get those kind of jobs, what kind of jobs can I get? So I'll just stay around Alabama. It would make total sense to me if he decided to stay there. It would be, you would think, a wise career move. That being said, and I know I'm getting redundant here, if you come back and resurrect OU's defense, especially with the way that they've played the last 5 years, somebody's going to want you as a head coach. Somebody's going to believe that you're a miracle worker. If you're able to recruit not only very athletic kids to come to the Big 12, but you're able to get them to play defense and you're able to get them to have success against the spread, and the NFL sees that these kids are good enough to play in the league, then somebody's going to give you a head job. And if it takes $2 million to get a defensive coordinator, then by all means, you need to go out and pay it. Because OU fans, what this really comes down to for me is this isn't even about Pete Golden, because I get it. Look, if he wanted to go to Ole Miss because that's where his wife wants to be, I have no problem with that. If he wants to stay at Alabama because he feels like that's his best career option, I have no problem with that. I don't have a problem with what any of these coaches decide to do in their career. It's their career. I mean, I may not agree with it, but it's their life. What this comes down to for OU, and something that Joe Castiglione has got to understand, is that OU fans deserve a national championship. They're a loyal bunch. Are they spoiled? Sure. We're all spoiled as OU fans. But when you've gone 18 years and you've been as close as OU is and you've gotten the reputation now that you're always going to be the school that gets close but never win, even though you've got the flags hanging, even though you've got the rings to show everyone that you are national champs, you haven't had that taste lately. And whatever you have to do to make that happen, if you are Joe Castiglione, you do it. Things are really good at OU. I mean, it's hard to, in a sense, it's kind of hard to complain if you're an OU fan because there's really not a program that's hurting. Every program gives you an opportunity to win and be proud of. But if it's the national championship at football, you really want. And I don't think OU fans just want a national championship. OU fans want to be a dynasty now. So whatever you have to do to make that happen, do that. Pay a guy $2 million to be your defensive coordinator, great. If you really think it's Lincoln Riley and you're afraid of him going to the NFL, even though I wouldn't do this, I would tell Lincoln Riley to go to the NFL if I was Joe Castiglione. Again, reasons why I can't be an AD. Then pay Lincoln Riley the money. But it's time to start working for that. And OU becoming a dynasty isn't just on the coaches. It starts with the athletic director. Then it goes down to the coaches. And then it's the trickle-down effect after that. But there's no reason it can't be accomplished. It's just a matter of what are you willing to put into the program to make that happen. You've got the facilities. And your facilities are absolutely incredible. And they rival anybody in the country. And Joe Castiglione's already said OU is making that commitment as a school to stay ahead of the curve, or to stay ahead of the curve, at least in facilities, in every sport. We'll do that with your coaches. Stay ahead of the curve with your coaches. This is the Locked On Sooners podcast. I'm Eric G. We wrap it up. Where is the net ranking? What is the net ranking? What's going on with the OU men's basketball team? What does the NCAA think of them? We'll tell you all that next.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily Oklahoma Sooners podcast.
We have another episode of Locked On Thunder that is dropped as well, and you can get Locked On Thunder and Locked On Sooners at LockedOnPodcast.com as well as any of the other podcasts in our Locked On Podcast family. You can also subscribe via Apple iTunes and rate us 5 stars, but as I always say, only if you think we're worth it. And you can also get us at Google, Stitcher, Spotify, and Alexa. So wherever you are in your sporting life, there's a local person talking about what you want to hear and doing it in bite-sized form so you don't have to be trapped somewhere for 4 hours. You can listen to us anytime you want. We're always on demand. That's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Okay, so the OU basketball team, let's talk about them. Big win on Saturday against Wichita State, 80-48. Sooners in the net rankings. Okay, which if you don't know what the net ranking is, this is the new tool that the NCAA is using to rank men's basketball teams for the college tournament, and it'll tell you where these guys are supposed to be. It's called the NCAA Evaluation Tool Ranking, and then you've got all these different winnings, Quadrant 1, Quadrant 2, Quadrant 3, Quadrant 4. And you get so many points per win, etc. To me, it sounds a little more complex than the RPI and the old strength of schedule, but hey, if it better determines who the best teams are and who are the most deserving teams as far as seeding goes, then I'm all for it. I'm not a big fan of the NCAA tournament. We'll get to that in a second. I honestly think it is the absolute worst way that we pick a champion. And I'll tell you what I would do if I was czar in college basketball in a second. But real quick, the OU men's basketball team could be 11-1. By the time they take the turn to go into the Big 12, got USC on Saturday. That's a game at Tulsa, which if you're not doing anything on Saturday night, you don't have any plans. You ought to go see this team play. They are a lot of fun to watch. That Saturday night in Tulsa, it's an 8:30 tip. Then you've got games against Creighton at home, which is a couple of days after that. And then you've got the game against Northwestern to finish things up before Kansas at the beginning of the year at the Lloyd Noble Center. But they're really good, really fun team to watch. Are they a second weekend team like Greg Marshall says? I want to see him in Big 12 play before I agree with Greg Marshall. I know I should have like a strong opinion on that, but Saturday's game, as I said on the last podcast, was a bit alarming. Now, what I would do if I was czar of the NCAA and I was controlling the NCAA tournament, first of all, the tournament would be gone. I am getting rid of the NCAA tournament. It's gone. And I'm going to do it more like, you do in the NBA. I'm going to take the top 16 teams. And you're going to play series, starting with best 3 out of 5, and then I'm going to move to 4 out of 7. Because ultimately what I want to know is who the best team in college basketball is. I mean, let me ask you this. Do you even remember last year that Villanova won the NCAA tournament? Maybe you're a bigger college basketball fan than I am, but do you remember that that Villanova won? The only reason I can remember Villanova won a few years back is because OU was in the Final Four, and I just happened to go down for that. I mean, I couldn't tell you. Like, I had to look it up this year, who won the NCAA tournament. I would have to look it up for the year before that as well, because I honestly don't remember. I can remember college football, Alabama last year, Clemson, the year before that. And well, actually, I think if you just said Alabama and Clemson right now, you're pretty much getting it right. But college football, the great thing about the playoff and why it doesn't need to be expanded is because we know who the best team is. We don't know who it is in college basketball. We know that in college football, they're going to work to get the most deserving versus the 4 best, which in college basketball, I think they look for the best story. And if you can get, University of Maryland, Baltimore County to beat a Virginia, then they're happy. Under my system, yeah, those upsets would be gone. But in the end, we would know who the best team in college basketball is. And I think that's ultimately what we want for our championships, right? Top 16 teams, based on either AP ranking, coaches ranking, net ranking, some sort of combination. And we do, and everybody's playing it. I'm not doing any neutral site games. Hate those neutral site games. Hate them. Won't be any more neutral site games. You're going to earn home court advantage under my system. And whoever is that number one overall seed is going to have home court advantage in that final 7-game series. And don't give me all this stuff about the kids. I mean, look, we're talking about one and done kids who want to play in the NBA anyway. Why not get them ready with playing more games? Why not get them ready with playing series? I mean, essentially all college basketball is right now for a lot of kids, especially the upper echelon kids, it's just, it's a docking station while you wait for a year to go to the NBA. And hey, in the second semester, those NBA ready kids, they're not going to class anyway. So let's scrape away all the garbage. Get your 16 best out there and let's find out who the best team is in college basketball. Again, why I will never be czar, because I'm assuming that is probably not as sellable as the drama. And what makes college basketball such a viable sport is gambling more than anything else. That wraps up today's Locked On Sooners. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more about the Orange Bowl. Hopefully we'll have some news on Pete Golding, and maybe we delve into some recruiting. We'll get to all that right here on Locked On Sooners. Until then, I am Eric G. saying everybody love everybody, and peace, love, and Boomer Sooner. Oh, and may God bless you and your family. Now, peace, love, and Boomer Sooner.
You are Locked On Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or tell Alexa or Google to play podcast Locked On. Don't worry, I won't finish. You get the idea.